Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the 2019 Niles McKinley Red Dragons Football Podcast, powered by Brandon Miller State Farm Insurance, located in Niles, Ohio. Welcome back to another edition of the Niles McKinley Red Dragons Football Podcast. It's Season 2, Episode 2, and we're here with Coach Perry. Coach, I want to discuss on this week's show. I know you guys had the sausage fry. You guys had the scrimmage last week down at the high school. And then also talk a little bit about the Niles McKinley Football Alumni. I know you guys want to get that going. But let's kind of just dig into the sausage fry first. How'd that go for you guys?
Yeah, one of those nights where you just, you know, it kind of makes you feel good. You see how many people are involved in the program, including the junior high and the cheerleaders and the mothers clubs there doing their thing. And then, of course, the guys that put it all on, the frontliners. And it just really makes you feel incredibly blessed to realize, you know, what kind of program we have and what it means to the community.
Now, I think you brought up last year, because we spoke a little bit about the sausage fry. Didn't you say that there's some history and tradition there in terms of, like, this is like one of the first ones, or this has been going on since the dawn of time, basically?
Yeah, I think that it was the 62nd sausage fry. So, I don't think there's any documentation out there on something like this, but I just can't imagine that there's one event, you know, throughout Ohio going on a yearly basis like that, probably started pretty meager and then quickly, you know, built over time. And, you know, I know a lot of guys that aren't really all that close to the program on a day-to-day basis, but you see them there. So it's just a nice tradition that we have, and I'm sure something will be going on long after you and I are gone.
Yeah, hopefully. And when you look back, when you were on the team back in the day when you were going to high school, how much has that kind of changed the sausage fry itself? I mean, what are some of the things that you maybe miss, and what are some of the things I think, you know, that have been brought along that's kind of helped it?
Well, I'll tell you, it's just kind of maybe a sign of the times. I mean, when I was in school, it was a male-only event, and a lot of things, Masters, Augusta National didn't have females and things like that. So with the times, and rightfully so, that's changed, and the women are involved, and that alone brings a more of a family-oriented atmosphere. I think back in the day it was probably beers and cigars and such. So, that's evolved. And like I said, it's actually helped it to grow. There was a big crowd there the other night.
Yeah, big crowd?
Yeah, it was, like I said, really nice. We often live in a world of negativity, but when you get to be in that environment and see, so many people there for a nice, I don't want to say cause, but an event like that, it just makes you feel good that our community is a lot stronger than it probably gets credit for a lot of the time.
Definitely, definitely. I know a lot of people kind of hinge on social media, and but we do have a great community. Once again, you're listening to the Niles McKinley Red Dragons Football Podcast, powered by Brandon Miller State Farm Insurance, Home Life Auto. You can find him on Robbins Avenue here in Niles, Ohio. I know you discussed this and brought this up our last show in terms of the Niles McKinley Football Alumni, and you wanted to get that going. Any progress there? And if these guys do want to start up, you know, how are they going to be going about doing this?
Yeah, so we kicked it off, I think, pretty close to after the first podcast aired, and had a nice response early on. Some of the guys I would have said, I know they'd be right in there to sign up, and they were, but you know, even some people I didn't even know. So, you know, that was really cool to see. Last I checked, I think we were in about the 30s or 40s as far as members go. So it is growing nicely. We've been busy with two-a-days and that, and I probably need to be promoting it a little bit more. But, I think it's certainly one of those things that's really going to grow over time. We've had positive feedback. A lot of guys like me probably wait for deadlines, and maybe I need to throw a deadline out there. But you know, they we've had feedback that this is a good thing. You know, I'm glad you're doing this, and I'm going to be involved. So, the whole intent of it is to let our kids understand that they're part of a big program that means something to a lot of people, and get those alumni back to our kids so that they can get some takeaways from them. So, you know, I'm excited about where that's going.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a fun process. Now, this part is I'm excited about. Last week, you guys were down to school, and you had four teams down there scrimmaging. You guys scrimmaged LeBray first, and I was down there basically for most of the LeBray scrimmage, and then I think by the time you guys were done with that, you know how that's, it's just start to tend to talk to people and lose focus on what's going on the field. But as I sat there in the stands, I was taking some notes, and I thought it would be fun just to kind of get your thoughts on some of the notes I took. And I saw you get hot a few times. I can't wait to kind of find out. My wife, she even got shushed after one of the things. She was starting to talk. I go, shush. She goes, did you shush me? I go, I did shush you. I go, I want to hear what Coach... I go, Coach was going nuts down there. I wanted to know what he was going to say. So let's break this down. Now, I was trying to write the starters down. And, now 42. Who's 42? Because I thought this kid has great pursuit. And he was just always around the football. And I don't know who he is, but you can probably tell us a little about him.
Yeah, good observation. And, in fact, when it might have been around the same time you saw it. I was standing with Coach Bourne, and he ran a jet sweep down. And Coach Bourne said, that kid's the best kid we got sideline to sideline. And he's right. And we noticed that last year. And I'll say this before I even reveal his name. That's where we really feel good about some parts of our program, because he had to work his way through JV last year. And he really opened Coach's eyes with his effort there. And then the next step came, hey, let's transfer that into practice, and he's done a nice job. But that's Curtis Taylor. He goes by the name of Cujo.
All right.
And I think even his mother calls him Cujo. In fact, I think his mother may have even named him Cujo. So last year we teased him a little bit. I think Coach Haney called him Puppy all year. He said he wasn't quite Cujo yet. But he's a junior, and, he's been doing a nice job for us. So it was good to see him out there. He is one of those guys who's just, like you said, always around the football, and that's what you want out of your linebackers.
Now his demeanor, is he a Cujo?
No, you wouldn't see it. Not until the ball snapped.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a real pleasant kid to be around, and probably a little bit on the quiet side, but he definitely is a ball hawk.
Now, and then... 27. I thought he came up with some pop. I thought he was doing some things.
Yeah, Joe
well.
Gallo. And again, Joe, last year coming back off his knee injury, I think that took some time. I see a big step forward in him right now. That was very encouraging. I thought he ran the ball really hard up inside, which was really nice. I mean, sometimes it's hard to
burst out of the hole. A little straight liners. I like to see
that's
him a little bit more
coming out.
I like to see Joe a little more. I mean, that one play he came out, I think it was the first play off the scrimmage. I mean, he came out. I told my wife, I said, I would have not wanted to be on the other end of
it. Yeah, that was a collision with the safety there. But, LeBray, one thing I can say about them, they always have tough kids. That's what makes it a great scrimmage. So, but Joe definitely providing that kind of back that we like, sticking the ball up in there. So,
now obviously, what David Mays, number 33. I mean, he's just, I think, Mr. Consistency. Is that fair enough?
He's had a nice summer. We battled a little bit of an ankle injury there. We held him out of our inner squad and that, and he was begging to get in. So I think he was just excited to be out there as far as that goes. Nice thing with him, the prototypical tight end on that side of the ball, you don't see that much anymore. So that's a weapon that a lot of teams aren't used to facing. I think he caught a touchdown pass in our red zone area. So we're expecting big things out of Dave, really on both sides of the ball, too.
And all those mom and dads out there, or even the kids, if you're listening in, I was trying to gather as much from the stands as I could. I didn't get to see a lot of really take note of the trenches on the defense or offensive side of the line. So if you're kind of missing out on some of your names or just comments, but I will have one, 57. I thought 57 came in. I thought he did some good things. Who's 57?
So their practice numbers are often different than their game numbers here, Bo. So I'm trying
he
to
was
think
playing,
of
I think he came in, he was playing, I think, nose tackle?
Okay, it could have been, it may have been Dylan Helmick, who Dylan was a starter for us on the defensive line last year. And I know there's a mom and dad listening out here, and that's not him. So I don't, like I said, I don't want to slight anybody here. But I will mention Dylan. He's a kid that actually at our Army camp, he broke his finger. It was a pretty gruesome injury, but he's been coming back from that. But he is really, really quick off the ball. And if from the stands, that's likely something that you would have observed up there too. So It was we had kind of lost him for a little bit. He was in working, and we didn't think we were going to have him. And he came back into the program, and he's been working hard ever since. So we're glad to have him back.
Awesome. Now this one, now if I was drafting a fantasy high school football combination, Leonard to Romero, I think I'm early on it. They look good last week, and Romero after the catch, I mean, just
And you saw that last year with him as a punt returner. You know, last year Romero just kind of struggled with the consistency of doing what we wanted him to do. His athleticism has never been a question for us. This year he's been engaged mentally, which is what he needed to do. And I think that you see once he's in the right spot, then the ball goes to him. You can definitely see what he's able to do with it afterwards. He has that little bit of hold your breath when the ball's in his hand kind of thing. And as a coach, you know, you want all those kind of guys you can get.
Yeah, he was fun. That was fun to watch, like I said. And, like, his, you know, his ability after, you know, after that ball's in his hands, he does a lot with it. I mean, he was going upfield and making some moves. Now, I have a note here, 9 with terrific moves, good blocking by 17 along the way, I believe. Who's 9?
That's Douglas Foster.
Okay.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, 17, Kyle Lundgren. He last year was our best blocking wideout, and that's really, you know, we really rely on his consistency out there and everything that he does, but he's a relentless blocker, and I think that play you probably recorded there was our jet sweep.
Okay.
And even last year, we always felt that Douglas was a guy that just, some guys just can run jet sweep better than others. It's not necessarily a speed thing. You know, I know if I were ever run jet sweep, it was because I was scared and I didn't want to get killed, you know. But Douglas kind of has that ability where he dips down in, gets yards, back out. He just kind of, we always call it, he kind of staircases it. And sometimes a true tailback doesn't run jet sweep well because they want to turn it up. And it's a play that you need to just keep working to the outside. Douglas does a nice job of that. And we had some timing issues actually on that play. If he'd actually been close to a quarterback when the ball was snapped, he may have scored on that. So we've been working the last few days on getting our timing on Jet better so that he doesn't have to wait so long to get the ball so that he can get out there, you know, even with the blockers and turn the corner faster.
Definitely, definitely. Well, at least we're on the same page. At least I know I'm not completely off my rocker. Let's see now. Now, we're not mentioning him on the show. We might talk to him after the podcast ends, but I do have some miscues by guys too.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So, but we don't want to bring that up because again, we don't want to have the hell and wrath of the public after us. Five. I mean, we all talked about Seth, and I didn't know he had that kind of. I thought I was like, who's five? And then I realized who it was. I never knew. I thought he ran the ball. He's, you know, he's kind of like that thunder and lightning with Gallo and him. You got the big power guy. And then you got Seth. I didn't know he moved that way.
Yeah, so last year playing JV games, you know, we kind of, you lack depth, obviously, in those situations. There was times where he had to go in the backfield, and he kind of fell in love with that part of it. And, you know, we know some potential there. And then toward the end of the year, a couple times, and even in varsity action, he took some shallow crosses and that, and really showed an ability with the ball in his hands to get upfield the way you like to see. So, you know, this year, losing Robbie Savin and trying to add some depth to that position where we feel like we're going to be by committee, we moved Seth down in there, and he's done a nice job. And he's learning, and I know we're going to get into it because you like the fact that you saw me blowing up. I got on Seth one time. I'll explain to you what it was, and he knows why.
Did you run the wrong route?
Not really.
Okay.
So we build into a lot of our concepts a blitz pickup. And so when you're bringing all your guys out into pass routes, your quarterback's really vulnerable. So if a blitz happens, the guy who's responsible for the blitz pickup needs to see it and, you know, be ready for the ball. It was a situation where had we completed it, it would have been a first down. He was continuing up to the next level. And the reason why I blew up on him, and I shouldn't have done that, and I apologize too, was because we had just spent a lot of time, he and I, going over, this is what you're going to do. And I thought Zach did a nice job of picking the blitz up, and Seth's back was turned, and that's where my frustration come from, because, you know, it's like one of the first times I was a teacher, and I thought I did a great job giving a lesson, and then I gave the test, and everyone failed. And as a teacher, you're like, well, that's got to be me because there's some smart kids in this room and they all just failed this test. So it was probably as much frustration on my own end that, you know, my efforts to get this cleaned up weren't good. But we're hoping now that we understand our blitz pickup responsibilities.
I love it. Now, I 62, a late hit on Zach, number 6. Any comments on that? 62 would have been the opposing team. But how does it make you cringe a little bit when these guys take the cheap shot?
Yeah, those kids don't. I mean, even then, the kid knew it. I saw. Though it's always,
I know you're not going to yell at the other kid, but
the thing
coach,
I saw
that's your
was,
QB.
Yeah, we put the kids in the different color jersey and that. But what I saw was their coach coming up and says, he's got that yellow jersey on for, you know, anyone can make a mistake. I mean, obviously, if he'd been rolling around, like, you know, with something injured, I'd probably feel a lot different. But Zach's a tough kid. He's not wearing that jersey for his own liking, you know. He's been a little bit sore, just, I think, from making that transition from, you know, baseball to football. We've really had him throwing a lot. So we've been just trying to keep him out of contact a little bit so that he gets 100%. So, you know, taking a shot, in retrospect, probably good for him because he hasn't taken a lot of shots. But, yeah, definitely cringe when something like that happens.
Now Coach, you know, and I also have Romero, nice finish, helped finish off a tackle, too. So defensively, he shows a little.
Yeah, he comes, he's definitely a physical kid. We don't like the fact sometimes he doesn't always wrap up, you know, because he wants to do the big hit. I think you see that a lot on TV. And, you know, for what we're trying to do, we'd like a little bit more form out of it. But it is nice to know that, you know, I think most of our kids, they're not afraid to stick their nose in there. So that's where an area where I think we've improved. Like, we've become a little bit more physical. So I don't know if from the stands it looked that way. We felt as coaches we were pretty physical the other day, so that was a good thing.
You got to love that, right?
Yeah, well, that's what we've been trying to do. You know, that's why we've been, you know, we've been as physical as the rules will allow us to be in practice and so forth. So, which nowadays, and probably rightfully so again, but just trying to, you know, we're bringing people to the ground. You know, we're going live up front as much as we can. And you just hope over time that you know, we become that physical team, because that's where I think really, especially in Northeast Ohio, if you're going to win, I think you've got to be a physical football team.
Now, for you, I mean, obviously, you're going to have more wisdom than anybody, and you're the head coach of the Dragons, and I was just taking notes from the stands, but any kids that you just want to reckon that you thought maybe had a good week last week and just
well, I'll tell you a couple guys that I think deserve recognition. One sat out with an injury, actually, and he was come back from concussion. That's Javon Tabor, and Javon's going to be a junior, and yeah. Again, I'm really proud of him because I think there was a time where he was maybe questioning whether or not, you know, football was for him, whatever. And then I think he had a little soul searching over the off season, and he's come lights out for us this year. And
nice.
In fact, even the military guys like wanted to award him at our military camp. Singled out there to, you know, receive an award from them, and then, you know, really, really just a big difference from last year to this year with him. So we're excited. Like I said, we had to hold him out. You know, he could have gone if it was a game day, but, you know, holding him out was the right thing to do there. And then another kid's done just a nice job, like I said, transition. We may even have talked about this on the last podcast. I can't remember, but Darren Thomas. Darren plays Z number 10 for us, and he's again, battling a little injury right now, which I think is affecting him. But, you know, from an attitude standpoint, a kid that's really bought into what we're doing and has actually become a leader, he's one that I, again, really feel has done a nice job. And then a guy that I thought had a great scrimmage was Alan Ifryer, number 4. And, he's a guy that's going to be stepping into a starting role. Actually, he'll probably be, I guess, the guy he's sort of replacing is Robbie Savin on defense.
Okay.
Those are big shoes, you know. But Alan is a very athletic kid, and he's really, we've been really impressed with the effort and, you know, his athleticism to play that linebacker spot. He plays a position we call adjuster. So, you know, he's kind of moving to formation, and it's a little bit of a hybrid a lot of times in coverage, a lot of times bringing pressure off the edge. So it's an important position for us, and he's filled that spot well.
Awesome stuff. Once again, the 2019 Niles McKinley Red Dragons football podcast powered by Brandon Miller State Farm Insurance, located here in Niles, Ohio, talking a little Red Dragons football with Coach Perry as he enters season two as the lead man of the program next week. Crazy to think 1 week away, but Highland Tiger is going to be coming to Bo Ryan Stadium. I don't know if we'll talk next week before, but if we don't, what are your thoughts as the countdown begins?
Yeah, so we were able to go see them Saturday morning. They scrimmaged up in Notre Dame Cathedral Latin, and we must have been overeager because we were at the field before they were, and their coach came over like, "You guys are here already?" And Stevie Boyle's their coach. He's a good guy. He's not a good guy for the next 2 weeks, but he's a good guy. And talked to him for a little bit. And I'll tell you, week one's tough because you just don't know what you are about, and you certainly don't know your opponent. But I can tell you that, last year the record wasn't great, but they already seemed improved. So they've done a nice job over there. We definitely have some real concerns about some of the things that they're going to be able to do to us. Looking at their scrimmage, I don't think they tried to show a lot. Some teams try to keep it close to the vest, and I think that's probably the case of what they were doing. But they have some real pieces over there. So Thursday night at home, should be a big crowd. Kicking off football season, not many games in the area that night. Two rivals going at it. I mean, all the ingredients are there. Everybody's excited. We're excited. And I'm in that, already last night I can tell you, I'm in that mode where it's sleepless nights. And
poor coach.
Yeah, we got about, I don't know, we haven't seen the clock today, but I think we're at about 10 days, 11 days here. So we're down in the single digits. It's going to be a lot of nerves up until kickoff.
I'm sure. Well, Coach Perry, we appreciate you always taking the time, and I know once the season begins, we'll be grabbing the kids. I know even heading over here, they're like, "Oh, who's going to be on the show today?" And remember, folks, we try to game plan, but it's usually pretty random on who we get. So
a lot of times it depends on who's still left in the shower and haven't gone home yet. It's like playing time. Like, you'd love to be able to feature every single kid because rightfully they deserve it. The same thing with playing time. There's kids we absolutely adore as coaches, and they don't get to play all that much, and when we wish that was different. And to be quite honest, I don't know if my coaches adore me, but I didn't get a ton of playing time as an athlete. So, I certainly sympathize with them, but I love those kids even more because they come in every day and they work and they don't complain. And, they're such a huge part of the program. And, I think we'll make it a purpose to even try to highlight a player of that, like that. But, we'd love to have 50 kids on the podcast every week, and like I said, it's if people only knew how we selected who we were going to talk to, they'd probably get a big kick out of it. Because these kids are busy, and we really don't like to step on. We have kids that during the week, they have church stuff even going on after, and they have homework, and they want to catch the volleyball game or the soccer game or things like that. So. Yeah, like you said, we are usually scrambling to try to get a guest on. But I do know, Bo, I wanted to again thank you because our kids really do love it. They really got a kick out of me telling you how I hated that voice, and that's sort of become a laughing joke in the locker room now. So
how's the voice
now,
increased?
Well, now the voice is now called the gasser voice. So when I hear it, the culprit gets gassers, and that's happened a few times. So we're hoping that it goes away, but it's not gone. It's still there, so maybe we need more gassers. I don't know. We're working on it. That's all I can tell you.
All right. Once again, the 2019 Niles McKinley Red Dragons Football Podcast powered by Brandon Miller State Farm Insurance. Big shout out to Brandon. Thank you for supporting the program. As always, thanks for listening.